Our thoughts and prayers are with all the families there in Israel and the Palestine area who have lost loved ones, yes, to the terrorist attack of Hamas, taking innocent civilians, women, children, as hostages, and the concern, no doubt, by the family members, as it concerns us all, does it not? Well, we know that what is badly needed, and not only in that area, but throughout the world, is the gospel of Christ. Yes. That's what's needed, is it not? So, with the situation at hand, I thought it would be good for us to study this morning, rather begin a study. We'll want to continue this for several lessons. And that being the church before the world. And we'll want to begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning, yes sir, to PFE, and that stands for, as we all should know, preparing for eternity, the most important thing we could be doing. So we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville. As we come together in our Bible classes, we appreciate the precious Word of God being able to study together. And then as we worship God in the assembly, we're striving to do so with a proper attitude in spirit, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern. And that would be in truth, John 4:24. You would be very much welcome, I can assure you of that, to join in with us. Something else we want to mention is we look forward to having Bible studies. If you're interested in setting that up at your convenience, please let us know. We'd be glad to do that. And if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, you can again write to us, that address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. One other thing we need to mention is our website address, and that would be www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. One other thing, I'm going to retract that. I need to mention about our upcoming gospel meeting. It's fast approaching, and it begins November the 10th, goes through the 12th. Now, this follows the Stop 11 Road Church of Christ lectureship that begins November the 5th and goes through the 9th. But our gospel meeting is Friday night and Saturday night. That would be the 10th and the 11th at 7 p.m. And then on Sunday, we began at 9:30, and then 10:30, we have a potluck good fellowship planned, and then come back up for the 1 o'clock sermon to close out the meeting on the 12th. Our speaker, Brother Bill Boyd from Tennessee. We look forward to having Brother Bill with us. He's an outstanding gospel preacher. He's also on the lectureship there at Stop 11 Road. And the theme of the lectureship this year is Mountains and Valleys of the Bible. And this is at the corner of East Stop 11 Road and Five Points. So you'll want to make your plans to attend the lectureship, as I normally would take a vacation. I plan to do that again this year. I'm privileged to be one of the speakers, but there are a number of great speakers, not saying that about myself, but I'm privileged to be a part of this lectureship. Now, our sermon this morning is a sermon that I preached at the lectureship last year, and so I thought it would be appropriate at this time to bring forth this study concerning the church before the world. And let's begin our study with this thought, and that is being a Christian in the spiritual body of Christ. I should be truly thankful for not only having my sins forgiven, but for being blessed with all spiritual blessings. And not only that, but also for the exalted position of the Church of Christ before the world. Now, the importance of the one true church of the Bible we're talking about cannot be overstated. For an example, if an accountable person is outside the Church of Christ, that's the Church of the Bible, he's lost in his sins. If you'll notice in Acts 2, verse 47, and this is the day the church began in Jerusalem, there were no other churches at this time. This is the one true church of the Bible in the first century. And you'll see, and the Lord added to the church, you see there's only one, daily, such as should be what? Saved. The saved were where? In the church. The true church of the Bible. The church that Jesus built and purchased with his blood. It's his body. He's the head of it. Why wouldn't it be called the church of Christ? Romans 16:16. And that's what, of course, the church is called. Now, Acts 20:28, you see it was purchased with the blood of Christ. And in Galatians 3:26-29, notice with me, for ye are all the children of God by faith, where? In Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So if you hadn't been baptized into Christ, you haven't put on Christ. Right? Verse 28, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female. Ye are all one, where? In Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So you see, this is it in the first century. One true church. The denominations came later as they protested the Catholic Church, which split off from the true church, having left the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of demons. You know what they did? They forbid marriage and commanded to abstain from meats which God commanded that were acceptable. You see what happened? And then you had all the protest movements, Protestant movements. We're talking about the true church of the Bible, not what man has brought forth. And so, without entering into and remaining in the church of the Bible, the church of Christ, there can be no salvation. That's serious, isn't it? The plan of redemption began to unfold after Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3:15. But without Jesus Christ, our Savior, purchasing his church with his precious blood, there would be no fulfillment of the plan of redemption. Look at Matthew 16. Notice verse 16, as Jesus had asked his disciples, but whom say ye that I am? Well, Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, that was the truth, wasn't it? And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. And upon this rock that you've just stated, Peter, in other words, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hell here is Hades, in the Greek. And that's the place of the dead. So death is not going to prevent Jesus from building his church. And notice verse 19, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The apostles had authority given them by Christ. So as we see here, the plan of redemption could not be fulfilled without Jesus building his church, which is the kingdom of heaven. It's the kingdom of God. They're all one and the same. So let's begin, as we look at the church before the world, with this fact. The church before the world began was what? Existing in the mind of God. The church began there in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost in the first century in Jerusalem, but it existed in the mind of God before the world began. How tragic it is that the majority of religious folks do not see the importance of the Church of Christ, the Church of the Bible. That's tragic, because they are thinking, well, just whatever, you know, your family taught you, and pick out the church of your choice kind of thing. Do you see that in the Word of God? Of course not. Our eternal destiny depends on our being added to the Lord's church, not joining some man's made church, but being added to the Lord's church upon our obeying the gospel of Christ and remaining faithful in the church until our death or the second coming of Christ. That's eternally important. There's a form of doctrine we need to obey. Romans 6:17. That's right. And we need to emphasize the importance of the church of the Bible, which is the church that Jesus purchased with his blood. He's the foundation. It's his body. He's the head of it. It's the church of Christ. Makes sense, doesn't it? Now, the following passage that we're going to look at, we want to notice an important term here. Ephesians 3:10-11. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. Notice that. The manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The eternal purpose is very important for us to understand. Since the eternal purpose of God for mankind's salvation is being in Christ, that is, his spiritual body, the Church of Christ, we can conclude that he had his church in the mind of God from the beginning, as the scriptures will show us, and we'll look at that in just a moment. But had the church not been built, then the plan of redemption would not have been fulfilled and thus void. That's right. We can conclude that. Had it not been built, the plan of redemption would not have been fulfilled. It would be void. As you see, we're freely justified by God's grace. But redemption is in Christ Jesus, as you see there in Romans 3:24. So if we're going to be honest students of God's Word, we will be assured that the Church of Christ was in the mind of God before the world began, because it's revealed in the scriptures, and we're going to see that right now. Notice with me in Matthew 25:34, Jesus speaking, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Now this is speaking of the judgment. But those in the church will be in heaven. That's assured. Acts 15:18, "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." Ephesians 1:4, "According as he hath chosen us in him." Not who's going to be saved, but the means of our salvation being in Christ. Notice, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. 2 Timothy 1:9, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." There it is. Titus 1:2, "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." 1 Peter 1:19-20, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Now Revelation 13:8, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." And that's worshiping the beast instead of God. But did you notice the Lamb was Christ, and slain from the foundation of the world? That means it was in the mind of God that Jesus would be the sacrificial Lamb of God on the cruel cross of Calvary. So these scriptures we've just looked at plainly reveal that the church of Christ, the kingdom of God, was in the mind of God before the world began. So it should be obvious to all honest Bible students that understand truth that premillennialism is a false doctrine. It cannot be true. And countless religious people believe that Jesus failed to set up his physical kingdom due to the rejection of the Jews, and thus he set up in his death the church as a substitute plan. That's tragic. They are actually believing that the church was the result of an afterthought in the mind of God. And that is not going to stand. The premillennialists have been teaching this false doctrine without scriptural backing for years. And all who are honest should know that the Church of Christ is not a substitute for their false view of a physical kingdom, because God is perfect and never fails in accomplishing his will. Genesis 18:14, Deuteronomy 32:4, Ecclesiastes 3:14, Matthew 19:26. God is perfect and cannot fail. So we need to we need to accept the scriptures as they reveal the Church of Christ is the spiritual, not physical, the spiritual kingdom of God here on earth. As Jesus said to some of those standing, "Ye shall not taste of death until you've seen the kingdom of God come with power." Mark 9:1. And they saw it on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2. So we need to understand that this kingdom cannot be moved. Hebrews 12:28. So, brethren, let us earnestly contend for the faith, Jude 3. The prophecies of Christ. Let's notice just several examples here, as we don't have the time to cover all of them, of course, as there's over 300 and about 333, isn't it? But there were prophecies of Christ in the Old Testament. And of those prophecies, we have Christ's suffering and his death on the cross revealed. And so the plan of God's plan of redemption was unfolding many years before he became flesh. For example, Psalm 22, verse 1, the very words of Christ as he stated in agony, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, what a powerful, powerful verse that is. Just let that sink in, how our Lord felt as he's bearing the burden of all the sins of the world, and our Heavenly Father in heaven who could not step in and help his only begotten Son. Yes, that was written by an inspired psalmist, David. Isaiah 53, the whole chapter is on the suffering Lamb of God. In these prophecies, you see, if the premillennialist view is correct and the physical kingdom has been established, as they say that the death of Christ then would not have been required if that had happened. Well, what about these prophecies? The prophecies of Christ's suffering and death on the cross, they would have come to naught if what they're saying was true. But the scripture cannot be broken, John 10:35. Do you see that point? Premillennialism has to be false. God promised to set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed in the days of the Roman kings, Daniel 2:44. And since Jesus the Christ proclaimed in the flesh, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, Matthew 4:17, Mark 1:14-15. So let's ask those who believe premillennialism, did God lie? Did God make a mistake? Of course not. It's impossible for God to lie, Titus 1:2, Hebrews 6:18. And again, God is perfect and never, ever fails in anything that he has done, is doing, or will do. Period. So we need to accept that. So, one cannot believe premillennialism and believe the gospel of Christ. To believe one is to reject the other. So this false doctrine of premillennialism is leading precious souls to the fires of hell. So, brethren, let's stay with the scriptures no matter what anyone may say is the truth. Let's study and show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. But let us go on. The church before the world, revealing the wisdom of God. Yes, the manifold wisdom of God is beyond description. I'm unable to properly describe it, and no one else is either. Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. God, being omniscience, has all knowledge past, present, and future, and through his perfect wisdom has instituted marriage, government, and the church of Christ. Genesis 2:21-25, Romans 13:1-7, Matthew 16:18, as we looked at earlier, and Acts 2:47, and the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. These are the three institutions that God has brought forth. Now, Satan and his servants are continually attacking these institutions. as he attacks marriage between a man and a woman for life. We see this going on, obviously. That's changed according to our government. Now it's legal for a man to marry a man and a woman to marry a woman. Not in the eyes of God, but you see how Satan has attacked this institution. He's also attacked the republic for which our American flag stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Has he not attacked that? Well, we could go into that much more than time permits. But we can be assured that Satan and his servants will never cease attacking the one true church of the Bible, that is, the Church of Christ. While attacking the marriage, the family unit, and the church of our Lord, Satan utilizes corrupt governments, false religions, and worldliness. So as members of the body of Christ, the Church of Christ, our faith must remain strong, not by standing in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, by standing on the ground of truth, 1 Corinthians 2:5, 1 Timothy 3:15, and by putting on the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6:10 through 18. Yes, our beloved country has moved far away from godly principles, and more than ever needs God's wisdom revealed through the Lord's church. So, brethren, let's pray for God's will to be done, even if it's meaning His judgment is upon us. It's God's will, let it be done, if that's the case. So the Church of Christ not only can help turn our country back to godly principles, but should be having a major impact upon every nation under heaven, as we're under the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18 through 20, Mark 16:15 and 16. Let's turn the world upside down as they did in the first century, Colossians 1:23. If the Church of Christ does not obey the Great Commission, how can the lost souls throughout every nation have the opportunity to hear and to obey the gospel of Christ? Let us treasure how the church stands before the world as a great example of God's wisdom, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. You see, this is an outstanding example of God's wisdom. The church of the Bible, which is the Church of Christ. And we'll have to put a peg here and continue, Lord willing, next week our study of the church before the world, revealing the wisdom of God. But at this time, we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel of Christ. We must hear the truth. Faith comes that way, Romans 10:17. Then believe that Jesus is the Christ, John 8:24. Now we're ready to repent and do the will of God, Luke 13:3 and 5. And then we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation, Romans 10:9 and 10. And then to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, Acts 2:48, Romans 6:3 through 5. And the Lord will add us to His body, the true church, where we need to remain faithful. And we thank you so much for listening today.